Welcome back to the Back Porch Education Podcast, an ongoing conversation about how to educate ourselves and those we love. Today on the show, Steve and I are going to ask the question, can the internet replace school? Okay, so Steve, it's not Robert Frost today.
You have a poem by someone other than Robert Frost.
I do.
So in the midst of being shocked that you have a poem, I add to that the stressor that it's by someone other than Frost.
That's right. Yeah, hold on.
I have to assume it's Frank Zappa.
No, it's not Zappa at all. But it is somebody that we haven't heard from before. Well, we may have pulled a quote from him, but we haven't heard any of his poetry yet. This is the American, Henry David Thoreau.
Okay. Walden Pond.
Yep, Walden Pond fame. I'm feeling a little snarky, so I'm going to go with a Thoreau poem today. This one's entitled, What's the Railroad to Me? What's the railroad to me? I never go to see where it ends. It fills a few hollows and makes banks for the swallows. It sets the sand a-blowing and the blackberries a-growing.
Well, it's short.
It's short. It hits quick. That's for sure.
You take all that time that he had in the woods. He could have gone a little further, right?
He was short on paper. He had to carry the paper in too, man. It was
no. It's that. See how my brain's working today. It's that I went to the woods because I wish to live deliberately, mm-hmm. to front only the essential facts of life.
Wow!
And apparently, the essential facts included a poem about.
The railroad.
Oh, well.
No, hey, I think we can tie this poem into the conversation today by way of a short story that I know about Thoreau. At least I'm pretty sure it's about Thoreau, that when somebody told him, hey, they completed the telegraph wire, and now a man in Boston can talk to a man in Dallas. Thoreau said, what do they have to say to each other?
What's a guy in North Carolina going to have to say to a guy in Missouri?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Exactly. Here we are. That's good stuff. So I told you I was feeling snarky, but let's hop into it. The question is, can the internet replace school? You want to take a first strike at it?
So I face this regularly. This is a good question. It's a relevant question.
Absolutely.
My students ask me this all the time.
Good.
And, challenge the notion. I always take it as a sort of a litmus test of what's going on around them educationally, right? If they feel that they could get out of the internet what they're getting in the classroom, I got to kind of scratch my head.
Right.
Now, what you can get off the internet is there's a lot there, mm-hmm. of categories. Mm-hmm. So I find myself gaining an education from the internet through video recordings or audio recordings of people teaching.
Yeah.
I can get some good lectures, as it were.
Totally.
I can get a lot of good information. I can even occasionally, especially in a good debate, go beyond just simple knowledge acquisition to entering an arena with some minds that are afire, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I plenty of great examples of that. Richard Dawkins has done a number of things with various people that have demonstrated that two minds can help each other understand I can't remember his first name now, but Lennox and Dawkins have a great recorded Oxford debate about the order of science the universe.
Stuff. Yeah,
science stuff. Right. And Lennox is a mathematician, so what does he know about science? But right. I don't dismiss the question because I see the legitimacy of it.
Absolutely.
I'm not willing to sell myself to it and say you're right. Mm-hmm. Let's cancel school.
Right.
I think that there are distinct advantages to the quote unquote live classroom, a room with students and a magister in it that can't be replicated as well, even in the, you know, so you have with the internet, you have chat rooms, you have online learning, both right. in real time and record. It's just so many different ways in which they could mean that question.
Yeah.
What students don't need today is Encyclopedia Brown standing up in front of the class, giving them information they have no other way to access. They can get information much more specific and detailed than I can give it to them.
Yeah.
So freely give that part of the argument, but I don't define education as the accumulation of factoids.
Right.
So there's a lot, there's gotta be a context. There's gotta be a narrative. There's gotta be a beginning, middle, and end to a lesson and so on and so forth. There's a lot more than just what's the date for the Battle of Hastings or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. 1066, right? So,
correct.
Okay, good. Whew, I still got it. I agree with you. I think that's a great place to start. This notion that we can dismiss this question, I think is really wrongheaded. And as the internet and technical capabilities sort of progress proliferate, we're going to see more and more people asking this question, and I think rightly so. So I think that one big part of answering this question is paying close attention to our terms, right? Because already, Steve, you've made a split, you've made a division that I think is the right move to make and super important for us in this conversation. And that is you sort of use the term school and education differently, right? So that's going to be big. And it's a move that we've made before in previous episodes. It's going to hold here too. So let's talk about that. I think right out of the gate, when somebody asks me, can the internet replace school? My knee-jerk answer to that is absolutely not. And here's why. What is school primarily? What is school primarily? Primarily, school is a place, a holding cell for students to go for 7 or 8 hours so that their parents can go to work. Now, that's not the school in its fullest form. That's not what it is when everything's functioning well. But I'm just saying that if you look at schools today, a lot of times that's the way that a school functions. That's what it's for.
It allows for more mobility outside the home for the parents.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so can the internet watch your child? Can the internet release you from responsibility for 8 hours so that you can go to work? No, that's hard. Like, no, we're not there yet. Now, in due time, are we going to have some nannying service through the internet where whatever? Okay, maybe, I don't know. But for right now, we're not there.
Well, and so that begs the question, do we want to go there?
Right.
At what point does virtual reality and reality disappear as a distinction? And I'm not willing to say that it can.
There's a
very hard to define and describe reality to human interaction in the room, sharing the same oxygen.
Absolutely.
That I've done enough online teaching to know that it's not the same.
Right.
Even with the video capabilities, even with the these
Skype,
days often.
Yeah, like video chat. Yeah,
and you can see everybody's face, and yet there's an, I don't want to say awkwardness. That's not exactly what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of you trip over each other a little bit because you can't fully read a person on a screen
right. Like
you can in person.
Right.
And I say that as a guy in my 50s whose kids are in a place where they seem capable. I'm not convinced that they are capable, but they at least pretend pretty good to be capable of interacting with each other digitally with a lot more emotional intelligence than I'm capable of.
Okay.
You know, I don't like to talk to on a phone to somebody. I'd rather see them. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't like to text. The English teacher in me just gets all there's rules here.
Right.
And even sure. If I'm keeping them, the other person is breaking them like crazy.
Right.
So, but that's just me. But I dismissing the love of grammar and just talking about the effect. I mean, I can communicate important information, please pick up milk on your way home from work kind of stuff.
Right.
But I don't find myself chatting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I share a lot of stuff. And I think that really to me is the term for the internet is access.
Yeah, good.
Ability to push things that I think are significant to people I love.
Yeah.
And my sons that don't live with me anymore, this is a lot of how we use the internet is my sons have this penchant for memes that's lost on me, but I stare at them and I figure I can't admit I don't get it, but I don't get it. But I, you know, I know LOL. So I just say
sure.
And or whatever that is, I spell it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. I sound my barbaric lol from the rooftops of the world. So,
no, that's good.
What would Whitman do with the internet?
Oh, yeah, nice. Who knows?
That's another episode.
That is. Yeah. Don't get me distracted. Yeah. So, okay, good. Then, you brought up a lot, and I think I'm going to stick with memes just because I'm interested in the medium. I don't think that memes are going to replace the essay, and I don't think they should. And I, you know, whatever. Okay, fine. That's a different. But what I'm saying is memes communicate differently than the essay or the sentence or the oration, right? And so there are, with this explosion of new media, we have all these different forms that are available. And it's an interesting conversation to sort of see how we can use these and how our students can use these, right? And how old people use them differently than young people.
Careful.
I mean, that's a thing, right? Like that's a good, I'm glad you opened that door to say, I use it differently. And so then finding the commonalities of the internet with you know, across different age groups or whatever, that's an interesting conversation to have. And I think it's a really sort of important point to realize, right, that this is, because the medium is quite new in terms of human standards, we're figuring it out. And the conversation, or let's see, the, how do I want to say it? The internet, I don't think, is going to replace schooling, but it is radically sort of decentering some traditional notions of schooling, right? Because yeah, school was sort of historically where you went to get info. Well, when info is ubiquitous all over the place, right. You've mentioned access a couple times. I think that's a really important word. Well, what's school for then? You know, like that's a really pressing question.
Right. Which I love the question and what it's asking us to consider, because it's asking us to reconsider why we go to school. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I want to use the word augment or enter into. I don't think the internet's going to replace the school, but it's come into the school.
Right.
And it can't stay the same. It has to figure out this new wineskin. Mm-hmm. Right. It's gotta respond. I hope it doesn't just react.
Right.
And it's interesting when I watch. So good education isn't afraid of any technology.
Yes.
But it doesn't succumb to sort of the, I guess, Chesterton's notion of chronological snobbery. If it's new, it must be good. Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily.
Right.
And so I'm watching, for instance, some of the wealthiest, elitist private prep schools in America go through and back out the back door of the one-to-one school. They certainly had the resources at some of these are $35,000 or $40,000 a year in tuition for high school.
Right.
And they certainly have the means to put an iPad or a Chromebook or something in every kid's hands. Mm-hmm. And if that's better, they'd better do it or their constituents are going to start pounding the table. Well, there was this sort of progressive predilection for anything new. Well, surely computers are going to revolutionize the classroom. I would say it's changed the classroom.
Right.
But there's still a lot of talk about whether or not it studying or reading or being on a computer screen all day is better education. And it's interesting, the really wealthy schools are now pitching it. And I see an article about once a week, it seems like, where some other school has decided they gave it a good 8 to 10 year shot. And
they're going back to the sources.
It hasn't raised our test scores. It hasn't produced better thinkers. It has provided access. I don't see anybody denying that.
Right.
I have to try and teach my students that there's access to good material, and then there's just access to the intellectual dump. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to I think. Generally speaking, the best scholarship is still by subscription and by, you know, the people that are out there putting the time and effort into real scholarship expect to be paid for that.
Right.
And I can't fault them for that.
No.
And so my students are kind of like, hey, you know, I did the Google Scholar search for my thesis and they want $25 for this and they want me to join this and subscribe to that. And I don't have that kind of money. And I said, well, let's so be glad you live in a college town where you can go down and
right
jump on the college internet that's going to provide you with JSTOR access or whatnot and still be able to get it. You know, it's there now. You're just bothered by the fact that it isn't all democratically free.
Right.
People still want a little pittance for their thoughts. Mm-hmm. So
and that's Yeah. Okay. So within notions of access, then some pretty new, I don't know that they're new, but some challenges are recast. One is just what you said, right? Just this notion of, hey, I can get any information I want now. No, that's actually not the case. Not yet. Now, maybe if you're some super awesome hacker, like, I guess then you could, right? But just your rank and file internet user still has plenty of paywalls that they run into if they are looking for specific information on some topic, right? Now, it's just like a library. There's enough in there to keep you reading until you die, but not every single thing that you could think of is there. But seeing that, I don't think students are aware of that until later on, until they have a specific problem that they need an answer to, or they want an answer to, and then they can't find it. Right.
Okay. So you've paved the way perfectly. Okay. I think the internet is better suited for students after school, and I don't mean 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean beyond college, than it is for them in their formative years of schooling.
Okay.
A lot of what they're getting in a good classroom is guidance, direction, a heightened taste, coaching in how to learn for themselves, so that at some point, instead of needing a didact, they become the autodidact, the ability to teach themselves.
Right.
And at that point, the internet's a wonderful tool because they have, and I'll use this term, I hope carefully, the taste necessary to distinguish, the discernment to make good judgments. They've finally figured out what the questions are. And that's teaching in high school. I've taught in junior high. I've taught lower. I've never taught higher. I know you teach in college at the present time. But one of the big things is the younger the learner, the more guidance they need because they just don't know what to do.
Right.
So the fourth grade teacher that says, go home and write me a paper about dogs, has just driven he's just given an assignment to his fourth grade parents.
Yeah.
You know, who now have to teach their fourth grader how to write a paper because he's just launched them, or she has just launched them into something they're not capable of doing on their own yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So my 4 years of high school is spent trying to get a freshman awake and then carried along by the hand slowly but surely through a long series of essays that culminate in a senior thesis. But we don't start there, or they die.
Yeah, exactly.
They quit.
Right.
Right.
They quit.
They'd run out of the building screaming. Go, this guy's insane.
Sure.
So,
they would be sort of blameworthy for that, right? If they
haven't been that's the teacher's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Like if they haven't been sort of fed what they can stand, what is nourishing for them, then by the time when you introduce something that momentous, they're at a loss, and they need some scaffolding. And good. So I think what I want to say from there is school ought to sort of be the scaffolding toward proper internet use. Is that where we're trying to go from there?
Well, so I think just to follow it, kind of exemplify it here. I would be very nervous about a lot of internet in a K-2 program.
Sure, of course.
I think there's plenty of room for the teacher to be gathering ideas, finding material, being resourced by the internet. Sure, that's the world we live in. But I would hope a K-12 program that's got any sort of continuity to it, like it's doing with almost everything else, it's a transference from teacher-heavy kindergarten classroom mm-hmm. to almost why are we paying the teacher to teach these seniors? They're really teaching themselves. He's just kind of keeping them focused.
Right.
If you follow the trend. And at that point, hopefully, that's big. Well, hopefully along the way, if we live in an internet world, which we do, the guidance is being given, not like that, like this. It amazes me how little instruction is being given to students today in how to overcome plagiarism. Mm. Okay. In many cases, it's just assumed because the internet's there. Here are these thoughts. The teacher wanted a paper on dogs. Here's a whole bunch of stuff about dogs.
Yeah.
Highlight, copy, paste.
Done.
This is a paper about dogs. Yes, but it's not what I wanted. Well, in part, teacher, you're at fault for not teaching them how to read material, paraphrase, think it through, reform it,
right.
and write Add. From study
right.
to turn it from stuff on the internet into my thoughts. And that to me is the big deal.
How to put text in conversation with one another. Yeah, exactly. And so, okay, good. That sort of thing. And I'm sure, here's the thing. I'm sure that somewhere on the internet, you have people who are doing that, who are walking students through, here is how to do this, right? So they're modeling that sort of thing. Through Skype or video chat or whatever, you can get pretty close and you can do a lot of the same stuff. So we are, I don't know, I guess when someone asks this question, can the internet replace school? I'm always brought back to, well, what is school for?
Right.
You know, what is it? What are we really doing? Yeah, I think, like you said, the internet is really valuable sort of after school. When you're done with school, the internet is sort of enormously helpful. And so then I guess we would say, yeah, at a certain point, the internet can replace school, right? We don't need someone who is already an autonomous learned person to come back and sit in an eighth grade classroom or a 12th grade classroom. Like they already know this stuff. They don't need the same guidance anymore. And so school has sort of run its course. It's done. It's finished. The product, the person is there. And now it's sort of up to them how they're going to finish their own self out.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. I think this question has a direct correlation with what we see happening in higher education.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, the university was where I went to study.
Right.
And I read, and I can't think of the title of the book, but Salman Khan, the Khan Academy guy,
right.
who's an MIT grad, when he went to MIT, he realized rather quickly, given what was expected of him to get a degree, he didn't need to go to class. He and some other guys formed study groups, and one person would attend enough classes to inform the group of what the assignments were and what was going on, and enough to be able for all of them then in the study group to prepare themselves, show up, take the exams, turn in the papers when due, et cetera. They attended very little class, and they all got advanced degrees from MIT, which is not an easy place necessarily
right,
to study.
Right.
But to him, it was an issue of time. I could cover more depth and breadth of material on my own mm-hmm. than I can just sitting in a classroom hearing it, quote unquote, at speech rate.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I can read and write and think faster than sitting through lectures.
Right.
And so I think the readily available information has had an effect. Many colleges today, the classroom isn't instruction. its formation. Mm-hmm. And I have to be careful here, but I don't know if it's wisdom and virtue, but that's how it's being approached, which I'm glad to see people realizing that what can really happen here is a soul can be formed. Mm-hmm. But I'm not always happy with what it's being formed into in the classroom.
With sort of the way that they're orienting or forming souls.
Right. Yeah. I don't care for the politicization of our nation.
Right.
And that everything public becomes about, well, I don't mind it being about moral issues, but about political mm-hmm. issues, how power.
Right.
And trying to get everybody to agree with me. Mm-hmm. I do think that's a wrong use of the classroom as well, but it's at least a realization. I don't have to just stand up here and give notes all day.
Yeah.
In fact, Rate My Prof will indicate that standing up there giving notes all day is a bad thing.
That's right.
You know,
That's right.
Students are not going to stand for that.
Right. So, okay. Yeah. What's the other way that a lot of colleges and well, pretty much all primary and secondary schools deal with this problem? But let's just stick with colleges. You know, to someone who can not go to class and show up and pass the exam with flying colors, colleges don't want that. So what do? They require attendance, right? Like if you don't show up for class, then you will not pass the course. And,
right.
You know, I wonder about that because I think, well, I mean, if they, what are you doing? Like, why fold attendance into the grade? If they can get there without coming to class, then
right, make your class something they don't want to escape.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what does it
do
say
something
about
within
your class?
That context? Right, make it worth their while.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and that's the challenge. It's sort of a more competitive environment mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. with the internet.
Right. Absolutely.
Me sitting in a room by myself with a book trying to figure it out is much more difficult than having a guide and some fellow minds. Mm-hmm. Right. And I see this all the time in school, have for 30 years, a student struggling with, let's say, chemistry. I don't know why, but we'll choose that subject as it's a fairly easy subject, but some struggle with it, I'm sure.
Yeah. like me.
And so you see them, they've got chapter 4 open. It's got all this gobbledygook on the page. And I mean, it's a very expensive textbook that they put a lot of money and time and effort and a lot of teaching experience into. And it's just not making sense to this kid. He turns to his neighbor, you know, maybe winks at her, promises her lunch or something. And she comes over and helps him figure it out.
Right.
And a love affair is struck up, and Johnny now understands his chemistry without having to go to the teacher and admit, I'm an idiot and I don't get this. Mm-hmm. And can you help me? And I have to stay after school and all that. Although that obviously occurs in school as well. There's times when it's the teacher over the shoulder helping explain the text. But my point is that the classroom affords some help. Is that not possible on the internet? No, I think it is, but in perhaps more at the moment, anyway, more restrictive ways.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it, but it's a lot harder work to make that kind of thing happen. So to me, it's still at the heart of it. The wisdom is by pulling together the information into some sort of a narrative, into some sort of a logic, mm-hmm. you know, a logos, a singular whole.
Right.
And that takes a more experienced pilgrim helping the inexperienced pilgrim along the way. That takes a teacher and a student in close proximity so that there's that immediate coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't think you can get past that. I also think that what we started off with, the difficulty of doing interactive learning over the internet is, in many regards, you're building a classroom electronically, right?
Yep.
When I think of the internet, I'm thinking of something that's 24/7 accessible all the time. But the best internet learning experiences I've had have been real time. We've all agreed to meet together. Using technology to overcome geography at that point.
Right,
the classroom doesn't have to be it in this 20-foot by 40-foot space. You know, I can sit here in my pajamas with my laptop and meet with people from around the world and collaborate. If anything, that's the internet expanding the classroom,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily replacing it, just making it a whole lot bigger.
Right. And sort of still bound by some of those same restrictions, right? Like time.
Yeah, the bell has to ring.
Yeah.
We have to meet there all at the same time. Yeah. And it, sooner or later, at least some of them are going to have to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they have a life.
Right,
so
right.
Some of us will just stay until everybody else has left. But
turn off the lights when you leave, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, when he stops talking and realizes the rest of us have left, you know.
Did
the little mic tap, you know. Hello? Is anybody there? Y'all have been quiet for about 10 minutes.
Did anybody hear what? Yeah.